I'd like to introduce Jolene W. from Avondale as our first speaker. Let's give her a welcome.
Good morning. I take that off, right? I can take it off there? My name's Jolene and I'm an addict. Can I move that? I don't want to mess up the sound. Can you hear me? That's great. Perfect. Again, my name's Jolene and I'm an addict. I thought Russ was going to go first for this one. Tell me all about it. I'm always super nervous to be up here. Like, this isn't my cup of tea. It's more my husband's cup of tea. But here we are. So I'm not sure how I got that topic, because I don't maintain spirituality for very long, ever. It's like a hit or miss kind of thing for me. Generally, the more I walk through things, the more I can maintain that spirituality. I can think of a couple times in my recovery that I've maintained it through the whole thing, and that's how I know what I was doing was right. I think somebody told me you shared the kidney story. So difficult times for me are times when I don't get what I want, right? In the beginning, it was when I couldn't figure out how to get this thing, right? I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me and why I couldn't get it and everybody else could. Because when I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't come here because I wanted to come here. I didn't come here because I wanted to be clean, because I was really good with what I was doing, right? Like, I didn't have a problem with that. It was the people in my life that had a problem with that. And I'm a people pleaser by nature, so, and codependent. So I had to do what people wanted me to do. And when I came here, I didn't come here clean, and I didn't stay here clean. I came loaded, and when I still remember this, and this is what a lot of times keeps me grounded, is that I lived far from a meeting that I hid out in. It was the only meeting I ever went to, and it was the only way I could get out of my house at the time, was either to go to treatment or go to meetings. And so I would give myself this speech all the way to this meeting, like, when you leave here, you're going to go straight home and you're not going to go to the ghetto, right? You're not doing it. Like, yeah, I pep talked myself and I would sit through the meeting and I would feel good, right? I would feel good. I knew I was going to do it and I would leave there. And I don't know why this is making me emotional now, but like, I would leave there and I would go to the ghetto and I would just sob all the way there and I would get what I needed and I would sob all the way home and that would start it all over again, right? And, there was nothing spiritual about what I was doing. I didn't have a God in my life. I didn't know anything about spirituality. I just held on and did the best I could. And my drug counselor, she said, "You know, this would be a lot easier if you just quit using." And like, that thought never occurred to me. Never did that occur to me that that's how this thing was going to work. Because I couldn't not use. I could not do that. And they offered me a different kind of treatment, and at that time it was pretty new. And so I said yes. It's pretty frowned upon now. And it's not considered clean. But that's what I did, and that's how I stayed here. At some point I knew it wasn't the way the old timers did it, but it's the way I did it, and it gave me enough time to get my shit together a little bit and be able to hear what was going on. Because when I walked into the rooms, people were talking about, like, work these steps and get a sponsor, get a home group and be of service, and like, none of that made sense to me. It was foreign. Like, you all talked about it, but I didn't know what the hell you were talking about. Because when you said, work the steps, I bought all the literature, so I thought I was working the steps. You said, get a sponsor. I asked a lady to be my sponsor. Nobody told me I needed to call her or do anything with that. Like, none of it made sense, and nobody took the time to sit down and explain it to me. nor did I take the time to ask questions. I just went along like I always had, like I knew what I was doing, like fake it till you make it. And I wasn't making it. And so, like I said, I went on a program, and I didn't know that it was wrong. I was pretty open with it about to my sponsors, and they told me as long as I was doing it like I was supposed to, like I was good, I was good, I was good. And so I was claiming that clean time, and I was taking key tags and taking coins, and I really thought I was doing it right. But when I would hear an old timer talk about it, and I felt guilty, and I felt like I was doing it wrong, like I knew there might be something to take a look at there, right? But I would shove it. Like, I would shove it. I would get crazy. Every year, I would just get batshit crazy. Couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. And I would just shove it down until that feeling just passed, right? And then it would pop up. It would pop up like, maybe I should change my clean date. No, I'm not going to change my clean date. And so it would pop up. Every year, it would pop up, and I would get crazy, and I would ask. I asked my sponsor, and she's like, oh, no, I think you're just fine. Well, hence, she has since relapsed, so that was probably my ticket there. And I would ask. I asked another guy who had kind of been through the similar situation. He said, yeah, that's not clean time. You should change your clean date. And I was like, yeah, I'm not. No, we're not having this conversation. And, you know, then it just came to a point where it wouldn't sit right with me, right? I couldn't push it down anymore, and it just kept coming up. It kept coming up. And I think it's probably one of the first times where, like, I really had to lean in to my spiritual side, right? I was talking at a meeting one night, and my home group has tickets. And so they happened to call my ticket, and the topic was how you're working your program. And I got up, and like, I don't get up here and cry or anything else or tell you what's going on. Like, that's for my inner circle and not for all of you. And I started to cry. And, like, I said, I must not be working my program. Like, I'm going to meetings. I'm working steps. I'm of service. I have sponsees, but I don't feel right. Like I don't know what's wrong. So I can't be doing this thing right. And so I was right. I had just switched sponsors not that long before that, and I was working on a second step. And the next day, I happened to be going to go over it. But that night, as we were leaving the meeting, everybody was like, "Oh, I'll pray for you." Okay. I don't know what that's going to do, but okay. And Anthony C., if you know him, he's like spiritual guru. He said to me, you know, what's going on? So I can't put my finger on it. He said, why don't you just camp on that? That's like his famous line to me, is just camp on that. Okay. I woke up the next morning, and I said, I got to change my clean date. That's what it is, right? I don't know what I had, like 7 years at the time, I think. And so I called Joel at 6 in the morning. I said, I got to change my clean date. And he was probably wondering, like, what the hell did you do between the time I left at 5 and now? Because you were asleep. And I explained to him, and I said, I got to change my clean date. I was on medically assisted treatment. And so, like, if you are and you're claiming that clean time, like, you do you, right? Don't let me tell you what you need to do. Like, that's your journey, right? I did what was right for me. And please don't let anybody run you out of the rooms because you say you're on medically assisted treatment, because you are welcome here, you are wanted, you are needed, and you are loved. That's your program. Your clean date is your clean date, right? That's between you and your God. So don't think I'm preaching to you about that. What I decided was the whole first year of my recovery that I was doing a medically assisted treatment, like, okay, so there goes a year. But when I told Joel that I wanted to change my clean date from 10-8-9 to 3-5-12, he was a little confused. So if you do the math, that's not a year. But what happened when I quit doing medically assisted treatment is I was still living dirty, right? I was still doing these same exact things. with no dope and no medically assisted treatment that I was doing when I was using, right? I was still stealing from my employer, lying to everybody, forging my ex-husband's checks, going to the dope house, giving people rides from the dope house, buying half-price food stamps, like all the same shady lifestyle that I lived when I was using, I was doing it clean. And like that's not recovery to me. And so for me to be spiritually fit and to be okay with who I am, I took that to the minute I knew I was living right, right? I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes since then, but I have been living congruent to spiritual principles since 3/5/12. I don't do it perfectly, and I often fall short. But what I don't do is I don't use, and I tell the truth, because every single time that I've been spiritually unfit, has started with one little bitty lie. And the little bitty lie is usually to myself, and then it's to the others in my life. And then once I tell it to myself and I tell it to them, then I believe it. Then the truth is, the line is always going to be blurred, right? I've lost my train of thought. So for me, to be, remain and maintain spirituality in, troubled times is not always easy, but it's never going to be as tough as it was back then, right? So I continue to come here and I continue to work the steps. I continue to do all the things that now I know what to do, right? Now I know what it means to work the steps. I know what it means to get a sponsor. I know what it means to use my sponsor. I have a support group. I had a home group until COVID kind of effed that up. Thanks, Tommy. That's great. It's really okay. I just don't like to hear myself. There are some people who like to hear themselves. That's not me. So yeah, COVID jacked up my home group, so we were not able to do that. And so what I find myself doing now is like separating myself, right? It's easy to stay home and just do what I do. And then what happens is I find myself on shaky ground, right? I find it easy to act unspiritual. Right? And when I see, like, when I see my husband go to outside meetings, the first thing I say, because I don't want to go, right, is like, I don't want you going. Don't hug anybody. Don't sit next to anybody. Don't touch anybody. Yeah, go ahead and go, but don't do this. Don't do that, right? Knowing that that's going to feed him, and knowing that if I went, that would feed me, right, and I would become more spiritually fit. But sometimes my disease just tells me, like, you're good. You're good. You're going to be okay. And that's when I find myself, really batshit crazy again, right? In those times, like, I haven't, acted appropriately lately. I can tell you that. Like, I had a service commitment. Somebody had asked me to come and share. And, like, I know when I'm getting anxious. I know when that's going to run right off the rails. And my disease likes to let me feed that, right? So one little thing leads into another. And I found myself yelling at my husband, telling him to call this person and tell her I couldn't come. And he said, no, you do that. I was like, what? Like, what? So then that was like, oh, screw you, right? So what that led to was like, a coffee cup went flying across the kitchen. My husband thought I killed the fish. I left the house, and like here's how my God works in my life, right? So I was facing a park, like in my driveway, and I wanted to slam my foot on the gas and go straight, but the car wouldn't go. So didn't work like that, right? So I got to drive around in circles and calm myself down and get my shit together, and then have to come home and apologize, right? And then have to make amends to that person for not doing what I needed to do, right? So, because if I was doing the right thing and being spiritual and like leaning into my God, like I can talk a good game and tell you how this should work and how you should do it, and it'll be like, oh. But when it comes to me doing it, like sometimes I just can't. Like in that moment, I just can't do it. So it takes something like that to be like, hey, here I am. Like, you better get your shit together. It's going to get real rough. And I have a tendency to take on more, right? So I can forget about this. Like, I put everything in a little box, right? Like, one thing's done, check, that's done. That's going to go over here. We're going to not deal with this emotion, and that's going to go over here, right? And when all that shit collides, it gets crazy. And it's very unspiritual. So it's hard for me when I'm not doing what we're supposed to do here to maintain spirituality. When that topic came up, I asked Joel 14 times, what's my topic? And because I can never remember. And he said that. And I was like, I am not spiritual. I'm not spiritual. You know, like, maybe they think I got it from osmosis, from Joel, because he's like spiritual guru like Anthony is. And I didn't get that by osmosis from him. So we had a little situation last night at my house, and I was livid, right? Like, I got woke up, and there was a situation, and, like, I was so pissed. I was shaking, right? Like, I was so mad. I was going to hit some things. I was going to yell, and I was going to do all these things. And when it came down to it, I was like, basically, what the fuck were you thinking? Are you fucking kidding me? But you know what didn't come out of my mouth? Anything horrible. I didn't call names. I didn't put that person down. I don't think I shamed that person. I think I was just like, wow, like, here's life, and it's okay. I went home. Joel and I had a conversation, and I just kind of laughed, right? Like, we were just having this conversation, like, oh, I'm pretty sure, you know, you two are going to get into some kind of trouble at some point, and boom, there it is. And I couldn't even be super pissed anymore. I was like, you know, whatever. Nobody's hurt. Nobody went to jail over it. Nobody died over it. Like, it's okay. That's a direct result of leaning in and doing what you need to do here. Because I can tell you, like, 6 months ago, that wouldn't have been the case. Like, I would have been throwing shit and telling this person all about it and in a not spiritual way and then having to make amends the next day. Right. So what I learned here is, like, if you take a minute to process it, just like I said to that person, like, I'm going to let you process that. Really what it meant is I'm going to process this. So I'm not mean and I'm not harsh and I don't say things that I can't take back, because that's who I am today. Right. I never want to be the person. And I always say this, like, be careful with your words, because, like, you can punch me, you can knock me down, and like, that's going to go away. But if you tell me something horrible about myself, like, 10 years from now, I'm going to tell you exactly what you said, because it's going to stick with me. Like, words never go away. You know, when we were kids, we'd be like, take that back. Like, you can't take that shit back. It sticks. And that's not who I'm trying to be today, right? I don't know how much time I've taken up, because, like, I really, really, this is the most uncomfortable thing. I don't know if I really told you anything about being spiritual or how to remain spiritual in difficult situations. But if nothing else, I helped myself process that. And I feel good about what I've done today and what I did yesterday. And what I know is that as long as I keep coming here and I keep doing the work and I keep telling on myself and I stay honest with myself first, like, it's going to be okay, as long as I don't put dope in my body today, right? Like, because maybe I'm an asshole today, but I'll get a chance tomorrow to redeem myself and be somebody better. That's what I got.
One more time, guys. Jolene W. All right, our second speaker from Mesa, Arizona, Russ F.
Good me adjust this for you, Tommy, wherever you are. My name is Russ. I'm an addict. Can you hear me? Okay. I did pretty good not thinking about this. I woke up this morning and I looked at, I talked to Google. I said, definition for spirituality, you know. And I tell you what, there's a dozen definitions. I thought, well, this is not going to help me at all. I put it away and I said, okay, I'm done thinking about this, you know. And I have no idea what I'm going to talk about. I certainly wanted towards the end of my share talk about the last 9 months, because that has been a difficult period in our lives, you know. And quite frankly, there have been, in my recovery, there have been some extremely difficult times, you know, in my recovery. Both my mother and my father died. One of my grandchildren died. I've had cancer. I came in here with hepatitis C. I had a heart procedure just a few years ago. And those were all like difficult times in my recovery, you know. And each one, been married and divorced twice in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. Difficult times in my recovery. And all has like required different applications of what I have learned in here, you know. I actually worked this 12 steps on the ending of a relationship, you know, which kind of opened my eyes and forced me to take some responsibility for my situations, you know. I'm certainly not going to try and tell you how this should be done, because pursuing, it says in our literature somewhere, and I'm horrible at quoting it, but it says like that the pursuit of our spiritual or the relationship with God is the most important endeavor that we will undertake in Narcotics Anonymous. The most important endeavor that we will take in our relationship with Narcotics Anonymous. And when I first got here, so I'll just tell you about my process, really. And when I first got here, I was raised a Catholic kid. So I came in here kind of spiritually retarded, you know. I'm not kidding you. Like I'd go and confess my sins, and my punishment was prayer, you know. So like that was my upbringing in the religious ability, and it was all about ritualistic stuff: stand, kneel, sit, stand, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, I thought, this is not for me, right from day one, you know. And so like I kind of cast that stuff out and never thought about it again until when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I got clean originally in 1982, October 26, 1982, and I stayed clean for like 9.5 years and got loaded. Where I'm at now, the clean time I have now doesn't measure up to the dates that I started with. But it was all an important process in my developing a relationship with a power greater than myself and healing my spirit, you know. People said, God, 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 you know. Angie said like 300 and some odd references to God in the basic text. And that's all I heard in meetings was God this, God that. You know, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm not going to make it here, you know. And then I heard about, and this is before we had a basic text, so it was all word of mouth stuff. And I heard about that I could have develop a God of my own understanding, you know, and the only requirement that it be loving and caring. And I added forgiving, because when I got here, I needed a ton of forgiveness, you know. I couldn't lay my head down at night without sitting straight up and gasping for air thinking about some of the shit that I had done. I kind of began trying to figure out, what's God going to look like to me? You know, how is this thing going to work for me? And quite honestly, my first understanding of God was magic, you know, because like when I came here, I was kicking methadone, a lightweight oil burner on heroin, a plethora of pharmaceuticals. So like I was sick as a dog. And like for the hour and a half that I sat in the meetings, the backs of my legs stopped hurting. My nose stopped running. I quit sneezing. You know, the sweat had like eased up coming off my forehead. So like there was certainly something magical going on here. You know, there was a power that was working that I had no idea about, you know. And it was just like I thought, okay, well, this is what I'll use, whatever this is. It was like, you know, Maxwell Smart, the cone of silence, come down and, you know, protected me for that hour and a half that I was sitting there, long enough so I could hear what was going on, you know. My relationship with a power greater than myself and my understanding of it for me has been a long, slow, arduous process, literally decades for me, you know. And all my life, I have never put the work in, you know. All through high school, I'm like looking over the girl's shoulder in front of me and writing down the answers, you know. I have never done my own investigation. I've always just cheated, you know. Well, that sounds like a good philosophy. It's mine now, you know. But I've never, like, I've never developed anything for myself, you know. And what I realized with the understanding that I had of God, I created, you know. So I thought, maybe I'm God. I mean, if I'm creating it, you know, then I must be like right up there with him, you know. We're working this deal together, you know. So like I've done a lot of things in order to do my own event. I have actually read one book that kind of pertained to me. And like, I didn't learn how to read till like the seventh grade. You know, I just cheated my way through school, all the way through. I was the class clown in grade school. The nuns didn't give a shit, you know, so they just passed beyond. So like reading is very laborious for me. But I read this one spiritual book that kind of set me on the right path. And the only other three or four books that I've read in my entire life are the ones that we've created. You know, that's it. You know, I mean, I hate reading. So like one of the kind of the coolest pursuits that I did in exploring my spirituality was a lot of my trials and stuff revolve around the women that I was dating. You know, like I married this lady who was a Native American. I lived on the res for like 25 years, and I got heavily involved in the belief system out there, you know. I mean, it was all so community-oriented and stuff, you know. We had all of our family over to Thanksgiving and stuff, and we give all the food away. I was pissed, you know. I'm a greedy white guy, you know. I mean, I want this shit. It's mine, you know. I want snacks the next day, you know. So like, I'm introduced to all these different Native American philosophies that are, like, not what a white guy thinks from my neighborhood, you know. You know, I had a commercial fishing boat while I was out there. I hunted with those guys. I had to pay my dues in order to earn my way in. And I got really tight with a lot of people. I lived out there for 25 years. And I got 7 grandkids, 10 great-grandkids. They're all Native Americans. And I became engulfed in their spiritual beliefs, you know. And I knew I was a white guy, so I was never going to totally get it, you know. I certainly respect all that they have and the way they feel and see things. You know, I learned about, you know, how the Great Spirit works for them, you know, and the different arms of that. You know, like we would always, before we went fishing commercially, we would always pray to the salmon woman, you know, to bless us with her babies, you know. Every time we went hunting, you know, we would ask for mama to sacrifice one of her kids so that our family could eat and stuff. There was a lot of respect, you know, paid through that whole thing. I've been invited to some spiritual rituals, I guess, that not very many white people get a chance to, you know. It's a Coast Salish tribe up in Washington, and they would introduce, babies would go through this process of shedding their old skin, getting their name and their song, and becoming new people, you know. It was kind of like, I guess in a religious form it would be baptism or something like that, but it's entirely different. And to be invited into part of that process for some of my nephews was like totally an honor, you know. I mean, I've gone into the smokehouse when they circle the fires, 3 fires with the squidilich stick, you know, and there was just a feeling that I could not, I don't know how to describe it, you know, but there was something powerful going on, kind of like what I experienced when I came to my early Narcotics Anonymous meetings. And that like influenced, you know, my way. But at the same time, like, I knew I didn't fit, you know. I knew I didn't fit. I'm a white guy, you know, and I can't infiltrate what they've been doing for centuries, you know. So like, it had a big impact on me, and it's still something I honor and respect, you know. And And in that marriage is when I wound up getting loaded. And part of the process for me was gradually whittling my way back in meetings. And then the first tragedy that came up, you know, I was fostering a young man, and his parents were just screwing with him. And I thought, you know what, if there was a God, he wouldn't be allowing this shit to happen, you know. And I kind of turned my back on God for a couple of years. That's when I relapsed, you know. I was out there, you know, burning and turning stuff. So, and then, like, and the whole time I was out shooting dope, I kept going to meetings. Because, like, I wanted to stop, I just couldn't, you know. And I wasn't going to work any steps that had God in them, you know. I was just going to work the first half of the first step. I was talking with, you know. I mean, I had some conditions, you know. And I really thought that I could just get clean again, you know. I mean, I had done it before. I stayed clean for a long time. I knew everything that I needed to know about Narcotics Anonymous. But I was missing some stuff, you know. I had lost sight of what it's all about, you know. And casting God out. Really took a heavy toll on me. I remember coming back to meetings and, you know, and so I was sitting in the noon meeting and I realized, you know, why am I hating this God that I'm not supposed to believe in? Why is there so much animosity here, you know? And that kind of cracked the door open for me, you know. All of a sudden I'm thinking, well, maybe there's something to this. I should take another look, you know. And my sponsor, was great in guiding me through some of the resentments that I had developed to open the door a little bit wider. So I kind of began to reestablish my relationship with a power greater than myself. And then here come. There's a retreat we have up in Washington every March called Ocean Shores. And it's like kind of been a bummer for me. That's where I met both of my wives. Wife number two, I met at the Ocean Shores retreat too, you know, and she was like a Seventh Day Adventist, you know, and so I'm gonna be one too, you know, I opened my mind up, you know, I did a study, you know, like this is not a religious program, but nowhere in our literature does it say it's an anti-religious program either, you know, so and I think it gets kind of a bad rap by a lot of people, but. I don't know why I brought that up, but I did this study. I actually got baptized, you know. I was like, I'm all in, you know. When I do this stuff, I'm all in, you know. It's part of a learning process for me, and it was good, you know. That marriage ended too, I have not been a spiritual giant, you know. That marriage ending was probably some of the most painful feelings I have ever gone through. You know, my solution was at first, I'm calling a hooker off Craigslist, you know. you know, that was a part of my solution, you know. I just needed to feel, that hole. I needed to feel something, you know. And you know, and that didn't work, but, you know, two or three times. following that, this is when the first time I really got seriously involved in prayer and meditation, you know. I mean, like when I first started out, like I had a candle going, you know, and I'm paying attention to my breath and breathing and whatnot, you know, and I'd be into it for 2 minutes and I'd be reaching for the popcorn over here. I wouldn't even realize it, you know. That has been a long, slow process for me too. And I actually got to where I could meditate for like 5 to 10 minutes, you know, which was a long time in my book, you know. And I started attaining some results from that, a little bit of peace of mind, being able to focus on the people that I was talking to, you know. There really is something to this. And mind you, I've been around for like 15 years, you know, or better, 20 years maybe, I'm not sure. And as soon as I thought, okay, this is it, I'm getting something out of this, I stopped, you know. And kind of went back to doing, you know, some other stuff, you know. I remember another time I was at Ocean Shores, and this is right around that same time period. I had my own business, a couple businesses actually. I had made money, my God, also. And I'm sitting with my sponsor, and on the way down, I had talked with my bookkeeper, and I had sold her on this idea about how we're going to do the taxes this year, you know. So I sit down with my sponsor, and I run it by him, and he stops eating, looks at that and he goes, Russ, that's fraud. You can't do that, you know. And so like I, you know, I'm not a spiritual giant either, you know. I mean, I have done some stuff that is a little bit sideways in here, or attempted to do it. Just last year, I was going to steal this blind off this my friend's trailer, you know, who died. And I mean, this stuff just pops into my head, you know. I'm like, I'm a felon at heart, you know. That's what the mainframe is, you know. This is the software to try and overwrite that, you know. And I didn't do it, thank God, because of you guys, you know, because I talk about this stuff, you know, in meetings, you know, like I'm willing to embarrass myself in front of you because this is the truth, you know, this is what you get, you know. And like, how short am I? Oh, I got that much time? Oh, it's like I'm talking fast. I can slow down a little bit. Yeah, that threw me off a little bit. I thought I was running out of time. So like, you know, I had certainly done a lot of things that I thought were my solution that weren't. And luckily for me, I've managed to always get back on track, you know. A little bit about, like I said, like the last 9 months, you know, I heard about this at the last live Narcotics Anonymous meeting in Yuma, the MACNA convention. You know, they started, some publications started coming out about we're closing schools here, there's these many people dying. I'm from Washington State. I did all my using up there. I got family and friends up there. So it was a hitting them the most. And and the people that I was riding with were, we were going down to the MACNA convention, and they were starting to get paranoid, you know. Connie, that comes down from Canada, she had to leave early because they were getting ready to close down the borders and whatnot. And I just, I wasn't sure what to think about all that. You know, that is still a big event in our lives. One of the things I'm convinced of is that with the meetings that shut down and whatnot, is that I can't keep what I have unless I give it away, you know. And I couldn't seem to. There wasn't any newcomers coming to Zoom meetings, you know. I felt like I was talking to the Hollywood Squares, you know. There was never any reaction when you said anything, you know. It's kind of like right now. I don't know whether you're smiling or frowning, you know. So I just knew that wasn't going to be where I was going to get the opportunity to carry the message. Because I have drifted away, I have taken the test, you know, drifted away from the program, and what I got was loaded. So I promised God that if I ever got clean again, I wouldn't take this for granted. So my home group is the Clean Life or Clean Living meeting in Phoenix, 5 days a week. It's a Living Clean book study, and we decided to stay open, you know, and not a popular decision. You know, we took some heat behind that. But some of the guys that are were my home group members, they were not willing to, like, and we always had a new guy show up, you know, and so like we knew we were doing the right thing for the right reason, and I kind of held that that frame of mind all the way through my recovery, you know. I mean, I certainly respect that this disease is like taking people out and shit, you know. But at the same time, I know God's got my back, you know. I believe in God, I have a lot of faith, but I still lock my doors at night, you know. I believe in God, I have a lot of faith, but I still wear a mask and I wash my hands more than I've ever washed them in my entire life, you know. And because there's stuff that's just my responsibility, you know. And like 6 years ago when I started coming down here, I was staying with a buddy in Casa Grande. My sponsor came down, and he froze me because he knows that my weakest spot is prayer and meditation. He froze me on the 11th step. And, I mean, I was stuck there for 3 years. I'm going, come on, I want to move on, you know. And that began a whole new chapter in my recovery, you know. Like, I'm doing things on YouTube, practicing these different types and styles of meditation. I ran into Tommy and Danny Cole over at San Fernando Valley, and Danny kind of took me under his wing, you know, because he taught me a bunch of different techniques for meditation, gave me in my own personal set of earbuds, you know, and it was just extremely helpful. You know, we stayed in touch quite a bit, and with his help and the other miracles that happened as a result of that, you know, I stumbled upon this Buddhist temple or something like that. I got stuck in San Fernando Valley an extra day, and first thing I stumbled into was a beginner's class on prayer meditation. No, not the prayer. And so, like, I think, wow, these are like tremendous coincidences in my life, you know. And I never see shit right off the bat, you know. It's like I have to get past it a little ways and go, oh my God, you know, God has been like guiding me and taking me along this little path and route for ever, you know. I actually went to my very first meeting in Narcotics Anonymous to get loaded. You know, like I said, I was kicking, you know, I was sick as a dog. And I left that meeting after listening to you guys, and I didn't go make the doctor for a script, which I know I could have got, you know. It was the first time in my life I had ever decided not to get well. I didn't realize the power in that until months down the road either, you know. So taking a look back at my life has really kind of opened my eyes to the spirit, you know. I came in here broken, no idea who I was, what I was, what direction I was going. I had no goals. I had no living experience. I didn't even know who the president was when I got clean. You know, no idea what was going on in the world. And I've just been gifted so much stuff, you know. I got a process that I kind of go through now, the evolution of my communication with my power, God, the God of my understanding, and my method of prayer is synonymous with meditation for me. And I tell you, like I say, like I'm sold on where I'm at now. You know, I don't have any second thoughts or indecisions or insecurity about it because it has produced results, and I'm sticking with it this time. You know. I write my prayers out, and like it's so weird. That's the only time I can clear my mind. You know, I write my prayers out, and God, like this sounds, I don't need medication, but I've actually heard a voice saying, "This is what you need to do." You know, not saying that, but call Danny, call Whit, some friends of mine. You know, and or I'll get that message, and then I'll write it down at the bottom of the prayer so that when I'm done, I don't forget about it, because I forget about shit all the time, you know. has given me exactly what I need, you know. There was three meetings a week I was going to up in Washington that were live, and part of our pact was if we could find a newcomer, bring him, you know. And there was only, and that was it. That was what I survived on, was three meetings a week. In 82, when I got clean, there was only three meetings a week. So I thought, you know what, if I got clean on three meetings a week, I can survive on three meetings a week. And down here, I get a lot of opportunity to share in meetings, like R&B in Mason, four meetings a day, 7 days a week. You know, there's an It's Time meeting every night at 7 o'clock. There are a lot of meetings open, and the word is just kind of slowly getting out. I really believe I'm going to be, you know, when it's my time, I don't have any choice in the matter. You know, it's like God says, you're leaving us now, brother. You know. But at the same time, I really think I'm God's favorite, you know. I'm not trying to be funny. You know, I really think I got so many blessings as a result of coming here and just doing what I had learned from the 12 steps, you know. I really think, I mean, I've been blessed and gifted in so many different ways, you know. I mean, when I got here, this sounds kind of gross. When I got here, I just wanted to hold some food down, you know, quit throwing up. Take a solid shit, you know. My wish list was pretty short, you know. And if I'm lucky, you know, I know I wasn't going to beat my burglary charges, but at least minimize the sentence, you know. That's all I wanted. And I've just been given so much more. And all I had to do was, like, work the steps, you know, clearing out the mess that I thought was what was important to me in my fourth step, you know, writing down those defects and shortcomings, you know. And when I first got clean, I thought, I need to work on these, you know. I need to get a hammer and a nail out and start pounding them in the ground. And And it's all been a God thing for me, you know. I sponsor guys that I have just grown to love. I mean, just grown to love. And that's another thing that has happened for me as a result of all this, you know. I didn't know how to love people when I got here. I didn't know how to have a friend, you know. And God has blessed me with that understanding, you know. And what I find today more than anything else is, got it, five, is that I fall in love so much easier and so much quicker than I ever have in my life, you know. I got some women that I just love that I don't have sex with, you know. I just love them. I got some guys in my life that that I've just fallen in love with, and I don't have sex with, you know. So, and, you know, and I tell you what, that is so meaningful to me to love people like that and to let them love me, you know. God, it's just, wow. Like, all my life I've sold bunk, you know, and I talk about Narcotics Anonymous, and like, this is some uncut stuff here, you know. Well worth whatever you put into it, you know. In fact, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. That's it. Thank you, guys.